Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
You know, we don't talk enough, I think, about death and what happens in the lead up to death, the process. We don't think about what happens much after death. And yet it's a very healthy conversation to have as a community, particularly as a Christian community. If we can't speak about death, then who can? Our next guest is Pastor Mike Robinson. And Mike is very honest about death, about his certainty of eternity, and his dreadful grief at being parted from his wife of more than 50 years, Bev. Mike and Bev worked together in journaling their experiences as Christians and life partners before she died in 2015 of motor neurone disease. Those journals were then shared with people as part of a website with which they shared some very deep thoughts indeed. Mike has health issues himself now. He was diagnosed 18 years ago, in fact, with Parkinson's disease. And after Bev's death, Mike continued to write many letters to Bev as part of his grieving. The journal and the letters to Bev were posted on the website, and they've now been turned into a book, a beautiful book. Thoughts that are full of raw honesty and questions and struggles. And in fact, I think they fill a gap that many people are challenged by when approaching this question. The book is called Our Journey Through the Valley, and it takes its name from the 23rd Psalm.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The website became a point of contact so that people didn't have to ring us directly or write to us directly. Mm. The idea was that I would put these extracts and comments, observations about how it was unfolding. And because of the number of people who were saying, you must get these published, that thought had never really crossed my mind. I enjoy writing. I never thought in terms of a book.
It goes beyond the sort of letter that people sometimes write, which might say, I've had further treatment today, things are going well, the doctor says they'll let me know the results of the test next week. We get insights like this from Bev, for instance. Being taken with the others in a wheelchair by one of the very considerate airline staff, again had the reality of this disease being pushed in my face, so to speak. The sense of deep sadness welled up within me. The growing weakness in my muscles meant that I had to have help, and my situation was going to get worse, not better. I mean, it's very intimate, it's very personal. And
yes.
Was it natural to share in that way for the two of you?
It was a conscious decision. Bev is not by nature an outgoing person. She was taking some risks in the sense of being honest. In fact, if I had to find one word that people use repeatedly in reading the letters and the journal extracts, it would be honesty. It's almost like people felt that we were giving them permission to be honest with feelings. There doesn't seem much point if we can't be authentic.
Yes. What sorts of statements have they found surprising?
It's more the questions that we were prepared to acknowledge we were having to wrestle with them. The fact that I'm a pastor, I suppose, was a bit of a surprise that I might raise questions in terms of our understanding of God in the context of our circumstances.
What questions did you have, Mike?
I'm not sure that I ever seriously considered walking away from my faith, but I was prepared to be honest with God. Why does Bev have to suffer? If she's got to go, is there not some other way?
There's a moment here. The elders are going to pray for you and they're going to lay hands. And you write this, I can hear someone say, I guess they'll pray for your healing. And you write, well, yes and no. The primary purpose for this anointing is to declare the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ over Bev's body and the disease that's taken up residence there, motor neurone disease. If that declaration results in healing and restoration of Bev's body, we'll be thrilled and grateful beyond what words could ever convey. But the primary purpose of this anointing service is greater than physical healing. I can yes. hear you grappling with the reality that life is finite, irrespective.
Yes. The underlying theme of all of this is the simple statement, Jesus is Lord.
Mm.
The image that was most helpful to me was the picture of Jesus before Pontius Pilate. Pilate saying to Jesus, don't you realize that I have power to release you, power to kill you? And Jesus said to him, you would have no power over me at all unless it was given to you from above. And as I try to picture that scene of a beaten and bloodied Jesus standing in the presence of Pilate, who is Lord in this situation?
Mm.
And it's almost a case of, it's got to be Pilate, surely. He's the one with all the power. Jesus just changes that whole picture around. And so all the way through the journey, Jesus is Lord is the undergirding thing. But there are times where if he is Lord, what about now? Times when I went from the unit at the end of the day back down to my own unit and I wanted to smash something. I wanted to kick the cat, if we had a cat, because looking at what's happening to you, the one that you love so much, and feeling so helpless about it, it was just almost more than I could handle.
On Open House, we're speaking with Mike Robinson. He is the author, together with his wife Bev, of an incredible memoir, Our Journey Through the Valley, which is the story of how the two of them faced Bev's motor neurone disease, and there are journal entries from both of them right to the point of Bev's passing, and then letters to Bev that Mike has written after her death. Mike, these are beautiful love letters. You must have loved your wife very, very much.
Yes. We had 51 years of married life together, 3 great children, so much for which to be grateful. Sooner or later, the day will come when one of us will lay the other in the arms of Jesus. And it's going to be painful, whichever way that goes. The Jesus is Lord motif, as I look back on what I've written, just permeates the whole book, not always in those words. And the celebration service of her life finished with the words of a song called It Is Finished. And the words of the song at the end, it is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there'll be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord. That was the closure at the celebration service.
Can you explain to people how you can express a sense of triumph? The battle is over and Jesus is Lord, when in fact, from an earthly point of view, you've lost your lifelong partner, the love of your life, the mother of your children, and for you, presumably, there's a huge emptiness. Well, I know there is from your diaries. There's a huge emptiness. Where does the sense of triumph come from?
It's interesting. I look back on that service, and at the close of the service, when we all declare Jesus is Lord in
yes.
that song,
yes.
and there was spontaneous applause.
Oh, was there? Yes.
At the close. The number of people who left that day saying to me things like, I have never been to a funeral service like that.
Hmm.
And my response would be, that's because it wasn't a funeral service. It was a celebration.
Hmm.
But I had a sense that many of those folk were going out on a high. They were caught up in something that put them in touch with a reality and a dimension of anticipation and joy. We just touch something in the realm of the spirit, I suppose, that was real.
In a later letter to Bev, you say the following. You say, I wonder what will happen to me when, like you, I'll be able to say to the Lord, I have finished the work you gave me to do. Now, three years on, is there still that same sense that you have work that God has given you to do and it's not finished yet?
Yes. I've been talking with different ones concerning the future of the website, which is called Barnabas Network. And I'm trying to work out if there is a way in which I can turn that website into a book, because when my turn comes to go home, there'll be something of a legacy left there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there will.
The title is Before I Go Home. One of the images that meant so much to Bev was the image of going home. Mm. Our pastor on one occasion interviewed us in a morning service, and Bev talked about the fact that when she was a teenager, she went to a service, funeral service, of friends in our church, and there was a hymn that was sung, kind of archaic language, but beautiful thought. I nightly pitch my moving tent a day's march nearer home. And that was the image that for Bev was best expressing her journey. Mm. Years ago, I sensed the Lord saying to my spirit, I don't want anything I have taught you to die with you. Pass it on. Which became something of a motivation for the website.
Yes.
As a means of fulfilling that call. So I've endeavoured to do that over the years, in mentoring, in my pastoral role in the local church. There's a sense now that I'm 76. I don't have any sense of longevity. Not that that won't be there, but I'm not counting upon it. I don't know where the disease, Parkinson's disease, features, to what degree, how soon or whatever.
Mm.
So it's a day at a time. And just listening, staying tuned to the people around me in terms of what they perceive.
Our guest is Mike Robinson, and with his wife Bev, he's written Our Journey Through the Valley. It's a continuing story, although Bev's part of that journey is now with our Father in Heaven. I think this might be Bev's last entry in the section that the both of you wrote. Listening to Mike's struggles over the last few weeks as I've continued to deteriorate, the word that's come to me about this disease is gentle. That's an unusual word, I would think, for motor neuron disease.
Very.
She says, like Mike, I have had to contemplate this thought. Gentle is the way I see the changes that are happening to my body. Gentle in the way the disease moves along, almost as a backdrop to life. Nothing sudden like a heart attack. Nothing as demanding as the upheaval that comes with the diagnosis of cancer. Nothing as devastating as an accident. just the small changes that, when added together over time, mean a large change in our lifestyle. I am grateful for this gentleness, she says. And then she asks the question, do I associate gentleness with my God? And then she shares this verse, come unto me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And Jesus in that verse says, I am humble and gentle of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. How do you feel now being reminded that was one of Bev's last thoughts in this journal that you shared?
We had an Anglican clergyman do a book review. I think he was the only one that did a review. And he picked up on the gentle. And his initial reaction was, she's not realistic about this. She's organising a happy ever after scene.
Oh.
So he was, it caught him by the hop until he said, but given the number of people that are praying for her, I would not be surprised.
At this stage of your own life, are you having, do you still have a sense of that gentleness, or is it a different pathway for you?
Sometimes I'm confused.
Yeah.
As to what is the big picture here? And I seem to see snippets. I had a friend of mine write a letter that was very affirming. I still remember that day when, out under the tree there at Orange, where I said to you, the material you've been teaching my deacons this weekend must go further. The way we can do that is utilise the internet. And then in this recent letter he said, and here you are, all these decades on, still doing it, people still being blessed by it. So I want to urge you to do the book. So get with it, and I order my copy now.
What will the book reveal? Can I reflect back, maybe hold up a mirror and see you, say to you what I'm observing? I'm observing that you've entered a realm that all of us wonder about, but very few of us talk about privately, certainly not publicly, and that is this end-of-life question. You and Bev graciously shared her last days. You're open in sharing your continuing grief and longing and your own desire to keep serving. We hardly ever talk about this. I don't think we hear preaching about it very often. Is it something that's lacking? After all, this is so much a part of our life, and yet we celebrate births, we tend to shy away from discussing death.
I think that's why, you know, one of the reasons why people at Bev's celebration service said things like, I have never been to a funeral like that.
Yes.
Just with a sense of, not awe exactly, but surprise.
What have you learned about people, other people, from the exchanges you've had via your website?
I think one of the things that I would underline in conversation with people is the importance of being authentic, that I suspect that somewhere in the overall big picture of life there is an unwillingness to explore the end of life issues.
Yes.
I think that's a pity. I think we miss out on something very significant in our lives and in our walk. I suppose we have to say that there are so many unanswered questions or things that can't be answered now, a lot of the unknown. And I've had to face up to the fact that there are times when I I've wondered, where is Bev now? What is she doing? I know what she won't be doing, and that's singing Blessed Assurance. Something about our teenage years and that whole thing. She said, if I've got to go and sing Blessed Assurance forever, I'm not going.
What do your reflections tell you she might be doing?
I think she'll be lost in wonder, love and praise. I can't picture that. I wish I could. She wasn't outwardly a very expressive person. She had a lot of depth. The testimony of her children at her celebration service was just amazing. Probably the best way to evaluate her role as a mother was to listen to her two sons in that service. Our pastor said to me just recently, he was preparing a tribute to someone, and he said he had a flashback to Keith and Peter up on the platform. And he said, I started giggling sitting at my desk. There was something very rich about their relationship. I did have one lady who said to me she wondered whether the laughter was appropriate. I said, well, the silence would be inappropriate, believe me.
Nice. Yeah. That's very nice. Yeah. But there's those qualities of Bev that you've observed in your children. These are how God made her. I wonder how he's using that now. Is that a question you ponder? Because, I mean, funerals are about the past as well as the anticipation of the future. But, yes, you're trying to get your mind around something that none of us can really understand. What is happening now? If now means anything in the heavenly realms, I don't know. If that means anything, what is he doing now with your wife? How is she expressing this wonder and praise? And is it through continuing work and service?
I don't know what it is that we'll be doing,
yeah,
and how we'll be doing it.
No, I wish I knew.
The pictures that we have and culled out of various parts of Scripture, for example, Paul writes to the Philippians and talks about the fact that our citizenship is in heaven.
That's right.
And from whence we look for the Saviour to come,
yep,
who will change our vile bodies into his glorious body. I'm not exactly sure when that's going to happen, but the other image that he uses is this earthly tent we live in. Has to go, because flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. So there'll be a different body. These are some of the things that I'm kind of thinking about now, 3 years later. We await with anticipation for what we don't know what it looks like.
Well, in all of that then, let me ask you this question. The central question for so many people, I suspect, is this. Nevertheless, are you sure? Are you sure that that is our destination? Are you sure that that's where that Bev is with God now?
The answer is yes, but it's qualified. I don't know how all the pieces fit together.
Yes.
All I've got is a selection of pieces.
Yes.
Yes, I've asked the question, where is she now? My perception of heaven is not something that is way, way up there. To me, heaven is like a all around us. And every so often, something heavenly breaks into the natural realm.
Yes.
And I think there are umpteen examples of that in Scripture, Gabriel bringing the message to Mary.
But have you seen something? Have you seen those breakthroughs in your own life? Did you see that when Bev was passing away, for instance?
I think I could say that I saw it in her attitude to what was happening in her body. She said to me on a number of occasions, "I can't keep doing this," almost like she was a failure. But she did. And that's what makes a woman of faith. I think I saw a prelude. I think I saw enough evidence in her attitude that made me realise that we're in touch with something that's very real here. A dual, parallel universe, so to speak, that's all around us. I don't think there's any crossing over. I don't think that Bev has any access to information from the natural realm. And part of me wants to say, I certainly hope not. I'm not always proud of the way that I respond to things. And, in fact, in one of the letters, I apologised to her for the way that I, the time before the visit I made, I raised the question, have you forgiven God for what he did, allowed, in Bev's life? And I was fairly angry when I wrote that letter. And then the next letter, I apologised to her. You must have been so disappointed with my attitude.
So while there's no crossing over, you're suggesting that nevertheless evidence of the kingdom of God breaks through into our current reality. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I would see there are many people who handle their circumstances in a way that is inspirational. You would expect them to be very negative. How can they say Jesus is Lord?
And that you can. And you do.
Yes.
So let me ask you the question. How can you say it?
Because he claimed it. And I've made the conscious decision that I'm going to base everything on that truth. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Yes.
But I believe there is sufficient evidence to make it a decision that has integrity, even though there are so many aspects of it that are unknown.
Well, you've shared with us such an incredible gift. I don't know how to say thank you, other than to use those inadequate words. But in the Lord, I thank you for what you've done in sharing your honesty, your vulnerability, your doubts and your joys with us. Thank you, Mike.
It's been a privilege to share something that is very special, and for you to receive it as you've done. Thank you.
It is finished, and Jesus is Lord, the song of triumph played at the end of Bev Robinson's memorial service. And thank you to Mike Robinson for sharing that story with us. If you'd like to get hold of that book and find out more about those letters to Bev, barnabasnetwork.com. barnabasnetwork.com.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.